What's going on with Cyril Ramaphosa and Lindiwe Sisulu? Lindiwe Sisulu, some weeks ago, wrote this article on iol.co.za, and there's no coincidence in the choice of platform, in which she said there's no rule of law in South Africa. Well, the only rule of law that there is benefits those who were colonialists and who have suborned into their colonial project black people who are mentally colonized still. And then there was reaction to that, including from the Justice Minister, Ronald Lamola, wrote an open letter to Lindiwe Sisulu, to which she replied, doubling down on what she had said earlier. And then on Monday morning, in his weekly letter to The Nation, Cyril Ramaphosa did what he does pretty much all of the time, and he made an oblique, easy-to-miss reference in the last paragraph, which clearly was aimed at Lindiwe Sisulu's original op-ed and continuing defenses of that. And then yesterday, the presidency issued a statement saying that the president and the tourism minister had met, and that Cyril Ramaphosa had admonished her about one particular sentence involving the judges on the Constitutional Court most of all, and that she had been apologetic and had agreed to fix that sentence. And then this morning she says, no, I didn't do that at all. I mean, she didn't use the words, the presidency is lying, but she went as close as damn it is to swearing to say that. And then the presidency came back and said, we stand by our version of events. And then she issued a statement saying, yes, they met, and there's no question of admonition. It was simply Cyril Ramaphosa having a discussion with an esteemed and respected colleague, and she had agreed to rethink the line of about the judges, that there was no apology and no admonition at all. Professor Stephen Friedman, research professor at the Faculty of Humanities at the University of Johannesburg. How important is this spat? Stephen, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, John. Well, not terribly, quite frankly, except that it does, of course, indicate that we're in now very actively in ANC presidential election season, and that all this has to do with that. We've got a situation here where I think that Minister Sulu, who, as I think I mentioned last time we spoke, is very keen to be the candidate of the Zuma faction, is hoping that she will be fired so that she can become a martyr, and the Zuma faction will then rally around her as they once rallied around Mr. Zuma. And I think this has to do a lot with that, which places, of course, Mr. Ramaphosa in a complicated position, because there is a lot of pressure on him to fire her, but of course that's what she wants him to do. So it becomes a very complicated game. But I think that it's not, beyond signaling that the ANC is in election mode, I don't think it's hugely significant.
What is the bigger risk, do you think, for Cyril Ramaphosa, to give her what she wants and to fire her and allow her to attempt to claim martyr status? How successfully she'll be able to do that? Well, we don't know. So is that the bigger risk, or is the bigger risk leaving her in the tent? And those people who already think him indecisive will think him more indecisive, will even more think that he is indecisive.
To the extent that there's a risk at all, it's probably marginally less risky to keep her inside than to throw her out, because she's been, demoted a couple of times now. I know tourism is important to the country, but nobody really believes that tourism minister is an important portfolio. But either way, the risks are probably not very great, because, the real issue here is what kind of traction is she getting? And, of course, the Zuma people have rallied around her, but that doesn't mean terribly much. And if the question is she now in a position to get what she wants in the sense of becoming the spokesperson or the leader of that faction, let's say she's quite a way away from that. I think I'd much rather have William Keyser if he's available. And if he isn't, I think they'd like to look around for other options. Because as we saw the last time around, in 2017, you know, she doesn't have a significant base within the ANC. So I think the Zuma faction will turn to her only if they've run out of other options, and I certainly don't think that they have run out of other options yet.
Why doesn't he fire her? I know you've explained the dynamics very well, but why doesn't he fire her? What does he gain if he fires her? What does he lose if he takes her out of the cabinet?
Putting aside Lindiwe Sisulu, the risks of firing somebody who has presidential ambitions is that it gives them, it means that they can devote themselves 24/7 to their presidential campaign. I mean, I remember back in the 1990s, Mthoni Motsekge, who later became premier of Gauteng, was unpopular with the leadership of the ANC then, and they made sure that he didn't have any job in the provincial cabinet. And that played into his hands beautifully, because he spent the next 2 years, he had no other responsibilities, going to the branches and canvassing and became premier. So that's the risk that she's now got. She doesn't have to worry about her portfolio. She can spend all her time going out to the branches and try to raise support. Now, my sense is that, in contrast to Motsekge at that time, even if she, you know, does do this 24/7, it's not going to get her the presidency. But those are the kind of factors that get taken into account. I mean, do you want the person in the cabinet room where you can ensure that they have to spend a large amount of their time worrying about their portfolio, or do you just cut them loose and let them go out and campaign?
Yeah, so Cyril Ramaphosa, you know, play the long game. It's a phrase that is often used about him. So there's this little spat, and we in the media and people in social media delight in it, and it gets hyped up. And we know that tomorrow or on Monday there'll be another scandal, there'll be another thing that will deflect our attention away from this. And, you know, in 2 weeks' time we'll be going, Lindiwe Sisulu, Cyril Ramaphosa, what was that about again?
Yeah, you see, I think you've put your finger on it, John, because, you know, what we're actually seeing at the moment is some pretty blatant political theatre. I mean, you know, sort of pretty extreme version of drawing attention to yourself. And look, I have a certain sympathy for the media on this one, in the sense that, well, you can't ignore it, you can't not cover it. But unfortunately, by doing what you have to do and covering it, you know, you allow the theatrical personalities a lot of time on stage, if I can put it that way. But I think you're also right in the sense that, you know, she's in the headlines now and everybody is doing interviews on this, etc. You know, it's not going to last all that long. But I think what we need to be aware of is that this is ANC election year, you know, this issue is not going to be with us for the whole year, but the kind of politics and the kind of political theatre that we're seeing is going to be with us for the whole year, and I guess we just better brace ourselves for that, because that's just an inevitable part of our politics.
Thank you very much to Professor Stephen Friedman, a research professor at the Faculty of Humanities at the University of Johannesburg.